Every day, and certainly on Sunday, when many newspapers produce a separate comics section, millions of Americans check out the strip called Dilbert, created by cartoonist Scott Adams. It satirizes work life in white-collar offices, particularly those in which people toil in confined spaces called cubicles. Fortune magazine, which writes about the people who, well, make a fortune, once focused on average worker bees in the corporate world who sit inside these modules, as they're called, separated by partitions at built-in desks with eye-level shelves, all easily interchangeable. The movable walls are designed to give workers at least a tad of privacy. As Fortune lays out the story, Robert Probst, a young industrial engineer in the Midwest state of Michigan, dreamed up the office cubicle in 1968. Soon, office mazes or cubicle farms sprouted everywhere. It seemed like everyone below the rank of vice president soon worked in one of these office boxes, identical to the next one, save for the photos of the family and dog. Today, cubicles are ridiculed, even loathed, as symbols of conformity, their inhabitants as clones and drones. Even the privacy part didn't work, as workers cannot help but overhear their colleagues' conversations and phone calls. Lots of people, including cartoonist Adams, have tried to humanize this sterile cubicle. In real life, he's even designed what he calls the ultimate cubicle, which would allow occupants to vary the flooring and lighting. They could even add a fish tank, but a box is still a box. Before he died in 2000, Bob Probst, the father of the cubicle, told friends he was sorry all his days that he'd unleashed the idea on the world. He called his invention an act of monolithic insanity. I'm Ted Lanfair.